Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's so important to do this because there are so many toxic chemicals in the world in consumer products we use every day, in the environment once we walk out our door. Even our bodies are carrying around toxic chemicals from past exposures that we had that we didn't even know about. But there are things that we can do to make our lives better, to be healthier, to be free from the harmful effects of these toxic chemicals. And that's what we talk about on this show. Today is Monday, June 30th, 2014. It's a beautiful summer day here in Clearwater, Florida. I actually, when I'm sitting here doing the show, I'm looking out into my garden. There's 17 feet of windows, and I just am seeing this butterfly flying past my window. It's just so beautiful. It's just so beautiful. It's a beautiful day. Anyway, today we're talking about carpeting. We're talking about what's bad about carpet, and we're talking about the best possible carpet that I know of that you can buy. If you want to have carpet in your home, you don't have to give up carpet, but you do need to watch out for the toxic chemicals, and that's what we're talking about today. My guest is James Stinnett. He's the founder of Earthweave Carpet Mills. They're the premier North American manufacturer of all-natural, non-toxic carpet, area rugs, and padding made using undyed, untreated wool on the face, along with hemp, cotton, jute, and natural rubber for the backing materials. We're going to learn all about this today. Hi, James. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, thank you, Deborah. Thanks for having me on, and glad you have sunny weather there. We have a little bit of rain here, but glad you have some nice view to look out there.
Well, we're going to have rain this afternoon, I'm sure. We have rain every afternoon. Thunderstorms. We're in the south. We're both in the south. Anyway, tell me how you got interested in making an all-natural carpet.
Well, I grew up in Dalton, Georgia, which is the carpet capital of the world, and was exposed, I guess, just at every turn, because that's the industry here. It's kind of like Detroit was to the auto industry, you know, years ago. Everyone here is involved in the carpet industry, whether it's manufacturing of yarn, manufacturing of backing systems, manufacturing of the full carpet system, or the distribution of it. So grew up in Dalton and worked in various stages of that. And I guess I've always been environmentally conscious and outdoors and wanted to be outside and enjoyed the mountains and things like that. So after I graduated from Auburn University, like I say, growing up here in Dalton, I worked in those various things, but I graduated from Auburn University, moved out to Montana, and I started a business out there selling carpet. I was just selling the mainstream floor coverings, shawl, mohawk, and what have you, because I was young and had the connections from back here, so had a business doing that. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a better way. I'd actually seen landfills here when I grew up in Dalton. We'd take things to the landfill and you'd just see all the carpet waste that was there, and just always in the back of my mind. Yes. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with you about the carpet waste. I think that that's something that most people don't realize, and they put down this synthetic wall-to-wall carpet and it doesn't biodegrade. And isn't carpet like a big waste problem?
It's huge, and I saw a number the other day. I don't even want to quote it because I thought it was so enormously high. I need to clarify that. But the amount, the volume in pounds that they were saying that carpet attributes to the actual overall poundage of landfill waste was just enormous. But you're right. So that was kind of where I was coming from, had that desire to be outdoors and protect the environment and selling these things, and, you know, not a huge business, just a small business, but it was growing. And then I just had this idea, well, I need to figure out a better way to do this. There has to be a better way. And just started doing some research and kind of started, you know, back to the way carpet was made years and years ago before the synthetics took off and before it became cost effective to do things in a synthetic manner. They were all natural materials. So I went out and just redeveloped a backing system. Or I say redeveloped, I kind of tweaked the old style and developed a primary backing, because that was the key thing, is getting the primary backing as adhesive. Because, you know, we used wool, and wool for yarn was currently being used. So that wasn't the revolution. It was more just bringing it all together. The carpet that we make is no different as far as it's the way it's made, the process of being put on a tufting machine, yarns, and they're placed in a primary backing, and then adhesive is applied to that. So it's no different than what everyone else does, but it's just the fact that the constituent materials we use are natural. So that's kind of where I got into this and just said, hey, there's got to be a better way, and just thought it through and spent, it was probably 18 months of research and development to try to come up with the products we currently have, or at least the ones we had then. We've expanded the line since then. But the product is essentially the same as it was 18 years ago now.
Well, I just want to congratulate you for having an idea and following through with it in order to make such an outstanding product, because a lot of people have ideas and they don't do anything with it. And so this is great that you did something and you made a product and you've marketed it and you have a, I'm going to assume, a successful business, or you wouldn't still be in business. So
it is, yes. We're not the biggest, but it's going good, yes.
Good. Well, at least you're covering your costs and all those things, and you can stay in business and feed your family and all those kinds of things.
In regards to that, I consider myself, more of an eco-entrepreneur. I don't feel like being an entrepreneur is necessarily a bad thing. You know, there's a big, maybe there's this thought process that, hey, you can't be healthy and environmental and actually be an entrepreneur and good for the economy as well, and I don't agree with that. I'm an eco-entrepreneur, and I think that's where the future is.
I totally agree with you, because I think that sometimes people get confused between the idea of being entrepreneurial and having a business, or even having a factory, and the misuse of that by some toxic corporations. And I think that there's actually, everything in nature, everything in life is producing things. I mean, even an animal will build a nest, a bird will build a nest, and we need to build our homes and put things in it. And I think that you're absolutely right, that the future is of people like you figuring out how to do it in an ecological way, so that the materials that we're using for these items that we need in our homes is, it comes from the earth in a sustainable way. We use it, and then it can go back into the ecosystem in a sustainable way. So I'm assuming from the description that I'm reading of your carpet that you could just put it out in your garden and it would just biodegrade.
Yes, over a number of years, and that's one thing that yes. People think, well, this carpet's going to fall apart because it, biodegrades, and it's probably a better term to call it compostable, because biodegrade, simply means it's going to do it on its own. Compostable means it requires other organisms to do that, but that's what's out there in the environment. Once it's exposed to, yeah. The dirt and the soil and the other organisms, yes, it will be composted actually out.
Yeah, and so your carpet is never going to sit in a landfill. I mean, those landfill carpets, do you think that they'll ever break down and go back into the environment?
Well, they say 10,000 years, but how would you know? I mean, you can't accelerate
yeah.
those in the lab.
I don't consider 10,000 years to be biodegradable. it's kind of there, and it's part of the environment, and it piles up because it doesn't have a biodegradable a time period in which it goes back, a reasonable time period in which it goes back into the environment. And that is what happens, is that nutrients from the environment go into making these raw materials, and then we use them, and then they need to go back so that they can, like leaves on a tree. A tree produces leaves. The leaves fall. They do their job for the tree. They fall. They go back in the ground. And the ground breaks them down, and then the tree utilizes those nutrients again. And that's the cycle we all should be having. We need to go to break, but when we come back, we'll talk more about carpets with my guest, James Stinnett, founder of Earthweek Carpet Mills. We'll be right back. Oh, I'm Deborah Lindad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is James Stinnett, founder of Earthweave Carpet Mills. And you can go to his website at earthweave.com and see his carpets and buy one if you need a carpet for your home. James, I want to tell you and our listeners some stories that I have about, I would just call them carpet horror stories. Many years ago when I first started writing, nobody was talking about toxic chemicals in carpets. And yet I knew that there were toxic chemicals there because I had a number of clients where I would go to their homes and help them identify what was toxic. And they would, I knew that for me, I had to remove the carpet from my home because I knew that it was making me sick. And then I had clients and I would tell them, take out your carpet, and their symptoms would go away. But there was no studies about this. And then I don't remember the exact year, but I think it was in the 90s sometime. The EPA had a big problem because I'm trying to remember all the details of this story. That they had installed new carpet and the workers in the EPA building started having symptoms, and they documented all these symptoms. And then they tested the carpet and they found that there was a toxic chemical. Since there's been a lot of tests on carpets, and that they are finding just long lists. I'm not even going to go into what the toxic chemicals are because, they're just a bunch of names that we probably wouldn't recognize. But it's not just one or two toxic chemicals. It's lists, like hundreds of toxic chemicals that are found in just standard synthetic carpets. And I haven't had carpet in my home in 30 years, more than 30 years, since I ripped carpet out of my bedroom one day. I just got on the floor and ripped it out because I couldn't sleep, and I was trying to figure out what I needed to do to make my bedroom a place where I could sleep. And carpet was one of those things. And I haven't had carpet in my house since. So I'm very happy that you're doing what you're doing, because I know some people really do want to have carpet. And there's no reason not to have carpet if it's made out of safe materials.
Well, that is true. And you're right. A lot of colder environments really need it, you know, for the bedrooms. It's a popular item for the bedrooms and stairwells and our stairways and basements for their kids, and that's our biggest clientele, I guess, would be new families, young mothers that have kids that want something soft for their kids to play on. The industry, and as a whole, flooring industry really promotes hard surface for health. There are Scandinavian studies, actually, that have looked at indoor health and indoor air quality associated with hard surface versus carpeting, and they've actually found that as if you have a healthy carpet, that it actually can act as a temporary sink and collect any airborne dust particles till they're cleaned. I guess the issue is if people don't do the cleaning, then that's where they run into another risk in addition to the chemicals that could be in a standard carpet.
Is another whole source of chemicals is the rug shampoo that people then need to clean those synthetic carpets and the contaminants that that makes sense to me that it would be a sink for dust particles and things, because I know that carpets often can collect things. And I'm thinking, you know, this just occurred to me. I've never seen this written that I can recall, but you know how when you wear synthetic clothing, that there's static electricity in, and so you have to use anti-static in the laundry. But I'm wondering if carpets, synthetic carpets, have a static electricity kind of thing that would cause more particles to be attracted to it than even like your carpet doesn't have that kind of static attraction, being a natural fiber. I just thought of that. I don't know if you know anything about that.
Yeah. Not really sure on that, as far as the different, you know, whether there would be a difference between the synthetic nylon and the wool face.
Yeah. So I do know that carpets, the toxicity of carpets has been recognized by the carpet industry, the toxicity of synthetic carpets has been recognized by the carpet industry, because now there's a program. I don't have the name of it off the top of my head, but there's a program where
the Carpet Rug Institute, right?
That's right. That's right. And that there's a program that rates carpets for different levels of emissions. And so, if there wasn't a problem, they wouldn't have that. And, right. And yet I would say that my evaluation would be that your carpet would be just like off the charts better in comparison.
Well, and here's the thing is, you know, there is actually just one level. It's the Green Label Plus. And I think that a lot of the misinformation that's out there, we make a wool-faced fiber, and there are other wool manufacturers out there, and they tout their carpets as being green, eco, healthy, sustainable, natural. Well, actually, you will go to their websites, and you will see the words wool is green, healthy, eco, natural, sustainable,
right,
non-toxic, biodegradable, and all these things. And if you look closely, they're right. Wool is. But their backing system is identical to a nylon carpet because they still have the styrene butadiene rubber adhesive in there. And you were saying about these, they test for these and rate them on levels. They actually do not have different rating levels, and that there is just one level, and it's the Green Label Plus. Being that any nylon carpet, or there are nylon carpets that can get the exact same rating as a wool carpet, because it's really the adhesive that has the 300 different chemicals in it, the toluene, the benzene, the styrene, the 4PC. So that's the thing is, you know, a lot of the people in the industry a lot of the consumers out there are duped by the industry because they see maybe a designer or someone that's supposedly in the know says, well, you want a wool carpet because wool is healthy, wool is green, wool is eco, wool is all these things. They don't tell you, well, it still has the same styrene, butadiene adhesive on the back. And the same, and moth proofing, which is a pesticide on there as well.
Oh, I want to talk about moth proofing when we come back. We need to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is James Stinnett, founder of Earthweave Carpet Mills. And his website is earthweave.com. And you can go there and see his carpets. You can see the little lambs running along the hillside that give the wool for his carpets. I'm not saying those are the sheep, but you know, that's the idea. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is James Stinnett. He's the founder of Earthweave Carpet Mills, and his website is earthweave.com. James, before the break, we were talking about moth proofing and pesticides, and I know there's also stain repellents and things. Can you just talk a little bit about those things before we get into talking about your carpets?
In what regard? I'm sorry.
Well, tell us about what I think when I was researching this many years ago, there were different types of pesticides that were used on carpets for moth proofing, but that there was also a moth proofing process. I'm trying to remember where they changed the wool in some way that wasn't a pesticide. And I was wondering if you could just tell us, if something says moth proofing, like what does that mean?
Right, they put a synthetic chemical, permethrin, on there, which is somewhat of a derivative of the chrysanthemum plant. It's a synthetic. I guess they take something from that plant and change it around to get kind of this chemical makeup, and it's a known neurotoxin. So it's something that my clients and now our customers do not want on their product and in their home. I'm not sure that we don't feel that it's needed on the carpet, and it's just something that's not healthy.
Yeah, yeah. And what about stain-resistant products? Are there things like Scotch Guard and things like that?
Not sure if the industry's, they've kind of gotten away a little bit from Scotch Guard. Well, actually, Scotch Guard's changed one of their chemicals that was in there because it was actually known to be a carcinogen. Found out to be that, so they've changed the reformulated a little bit, but it's still out there. And the whole synthetic industry, I mean, they're the big thing now with carpet is they're soft as wool or soft as silk, soft, and they're doing that through chemical processing. They're taking synthetic yarns and treating them in different manner to get this softness from them. I don't think they're going to perform as well as they have in the past, but it's trying to give this hand and this luster and this appearance of wool. Everything is trying to approach the perfect fiber, which is wool. It really is. It has a scale structure on the fiber. Everything about it, you cannot mimic that through a synthetic, because if you've ever looked at wool in the microscope, or there's pictures of it, it has the scale structure on it. That scale structure lends itself to its durability and its longevity and its resilience and also its cleanability. So the synthetics, they're trying to get there, but they can't do it. They try to mimic it the best they can, and they do it through chemical processing.
Yes, yes. Well, tell us about your carpets now. Tell us about the materials and how you put them together and everything.
Sure. And as I said at the beginning, we don't really do anything different as far as the construction technique. It's still made on a tufting machine, which is essentially a very large sewing machine. It's 12 feet wide, so it has a lot of needles through it, and yarn is fed through it. So it's the same process as what everyone else does. We just choose to replace the synthetic materials that everyone else uses with a wool face fiber. So if you look at the top of the carpet, it has wool that's British wool. It's the longest lasting, most resilient fiber available, and we get that that's naturally colored. So just like your hair color, maybe your family, they all have the same hair color, let's say. We choose sheep that have similar hair color from a similar family range and breeds, and combine those to get our colorations. So there's no dyes or chemicals put on there, no moth proofing. These sheep are just free ranging out on the hills as they have been for thousands of years, literally, in the UK.
Literally, they have. I mean, sheep are a big thing in the UK.
Oh,
we
definitely.
See, and this, yeah, this, we don't see, here in America, we don't see sheep on the hillsides like you see it in the UK.
Exactly. And you know, that could say they've been doing it for years and years and years. I mean, this is not a new thing. So we take those yarns, and then we put them into a custom manufactured hemp and cotton primary backing. Whereas everyone else in the industry uses polypropylene, we use a hemp and cotton primary backing. This is something I custom developed. There was nothing else like it out there, and it took a long time to develop it. And it's not perfect in that it's not, you know, there are inconsistencies in natural materials, but that's what, you know, kind of give us the texture and everything that we need, whereas you got a synthetic polypropylene primary, and it's repeatable, and everything's identical each and every time. And the other thing about it, it's not as inexpensive as a synthetic. Our backing system, just that primary, is it's four times the cost of a polypropylene primary, but it's what we need to do to get the 100% natural biodegradable system that we have. And from there, and all these that I'm talking about can be seen on our website under carpet construction diagram.
I'm looking at that page, and it's a very good diagram.
Thank you. Yes, it's as you go through that, you can kind of see we're going from the top down. So we've got the wool on the face, we've got the hemp and cotton primary backing, and then we've got the natural rubber adhesive that we use. Now that's from the rubber tree, and that's what we use to replace the styrene butadiene rubber adhesive that all other manufacturers use. And then you have a jute secondary backing. And here's what's the thing in the industry, the rub for me in the industry. For years and years, we were the only one even pushing this as being healthy and natural and green and all these things. We don't even use the word green anymore. I've stopped using that word because it
means
nothing. I just healthy, because as I told you earlier, there's all these wool manufacturers that are touting their products as being green and eco and everything, but they don't tell you about that styrene backing. So that's where the crux of the matter is, and that's what makes ours different. You can actually find wool carpets out there that don't have dyes on them. And some don't even have moth proofing. You flip them over, they may have a jute secondary. It's the sandwich. It's what's in the middle of the sandwich that they don't tell you about, that spread that's in there that has the chemicals. So the properties, the materials that we use, the properties of them are completely natural. They're truly renewable, truly sustainable. And that's, you know, the other word, that the buzzwords that just drive me crazy now are green and sustainable. Those two things, and then they will have them attached to synthetic products. And I cannot for the life of me understand that. How they can, you know, use those words.
Well, you know, I've heard that a lot too, and it's, I think that there are people, here's what I see. I see that there are people like you who are doing doing the right thing, and they're doing it completely and thoroughly, and they're understanding this is a sustainable product, and so everything about it needs to be sustainable. It needs to fit into the ecosystem of the earth, and that's your guiding star. But other people are coming from having done something really synthetic, and then they say, well, let's move in the right direction. And they are moving in the right direction, but they're not producing a sustainable product, and they shouldn't say that if they aren't.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We need to go to break again. We need to go to break, and we'll talk more when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Pad. My guest today is James Stinnett. He's the founder of Earthweave Carpet Mills, and we're talking about his truly natural carpeting. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is James Stinnett, founder of Earthweave Carpet Mills, and his website is earthweave.com. James, so tell us about your padding. Tell us why we need to have carpet padding, and then tell us about, I know you have two different carpet pads. I always thought, well, I don't really need padding. And actually, I've never put down a carpet. I'm usually taking them up, but I do have an area rug, one area rug in my house, which happens to be covering an old, I live in Florida, and the way my house was constructed, it's just, if you were to cut a hole in the floor, you would just look down on the dirt. There's no basement or anything. And so a central air conditioning heating system had been installed, and then they took it out, so there was a grate. And you just look down in the grate, because there was a hole in the floor, and you look down in the grate, and you see the dirt underneath and the lizards and everything. So I had to put something over that or replace the floor right there. And just temporarily, I just went and got a little wool area rug that I put over there, and it's still there 13 years later. But I'm thinking about getting an area rug for my living room, and I thought, well, I don't need a carpet pad under that. Tell us why we need a carpet pad.
Well, we have two different paddings. One would be for a broad loom installation, wall to wall, and that is the wool padding that we have. And in that application, it promotes resiliency and longevity of the carpet. And for commercial applications, a lot of times they do not use a padding underneath, and that's more just because of, in commercial, there are a lot of rolling items, perhaps chairs and carts and things like that need to roll, and the padding would maybe make it a little bit softer, a little bit too cushiony. But for residential applications, a padding is actually, it's an integral part. It's a system, and you put that under there. It gives it a great base. Ours is 40 ounces of wool. It's firm. It's dense. It's not hard, but it's resilient enough that it gives it that springiness that you need and kind of cushions the steps that you take.
As I'm looking at this piece of padding on your website, and I've been looking, when you mouse over it, it gives you an enlargement. That's very nice. As I'm looking at this and I'm looking at your carpeting, I can just imagine how good that would feel under my feet, to have that double padding, the padding and the carpet, and walking on that, and how soft that would be. And wow, I could see why people would want that. I think I have this idea from so long ago, even before you existed as a company, that I don't want to have carpet because carpet is toxic. And I'm looking at your carpet and I'm thinking, what a wonderful natural thing to have under my feet. Mm. Okay, so then the other one is the rubber rug gripper.
The gripper, yes. And that's more to be used under an area rug. If someone has an area rug that may not have furniture, like a coffee table or something that's sitting on it, and it just kind of keeps it, it's a non-slip. It keeps it from sliding. It will not harm a wood floor. There are some out there, synthetic versions, that actually do kind of some damage to hardwood floors, but this is fine for that, and it offers a little bit of additional cushioning as well, but the predominant thing is more of a gripper. That's what we call it, a rug gripper. Just keeps it from sliding around.
You've got, okay, so now here's the next question. So then how do people clean these carpets?
How do they clean it?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Well, we suggest Host Carpet Cleaning, and we have a link to that on our website. They have a completely natural, non-toxic cleaning process, and just like our system of the padding and the carpet, we want to suggest natural things and the total care. So that is a system that they use, and it's they. The great thing about them is they have all, a home system that someone like yourself could buy for your occasional spills or stains, and then they also have professional cleaners that will come in, professional people with their own machinery that will come in and use the same materials and then the same, I don't want to use the word chemicals, but it's a natural materials that they have for the cleaning. They will come into your home and do a thorough cleaning if you have wall-to-wall carpeting. And those guys are nationwide, so that's why we like to recommend them. They're not only are they completely natural and non-toxic, but they have a nationwide system to do this.
Excellent. I didn't know about them, and I'm very happy to hear about them because I know that some people still do have carpet, and at least they could clean their carpet in a more natural way and eliminate that toxic exposure from the normal carpet cleaning.
Yes.
So it looks like you've got everything figured out here. That's so great. That's so great.
Well, not
go
everything.
Ahead.
We're trying. Not everything.
So what about people who are chemically sensitive?
Well, that's, you know, a huge part of our market. People buy our rugs, and we have tons and tons of repeat customers. It's odd. In the last week, we've had three or four inquiries. Actually, someone said they bought our carpet 4 years ago in a remodel, and they're putting it in again, and they love it. And someone else was like 8 years ago, and they're doing it. They bought another house, and so it's those people that they don't want to be exposed to these chemicals. That's who buys our product, and they're people that either know that they're chemically sensitive and can't be around it, or they're the people that don't even want to expose their kids to the chemicals that are out there. So that's our main clientele, and that's who seeks us out, and they do the research, and they find out that there is a difference in our product than everything else that's out there.
Your product really is different than everything out there. I can really see that. There was another question I wanted to ask you, and now I've forgotten. I know what I wanted to talk about. Okay, so I know that your products are qualified for LEED certification, and you have a comment here on your website about LEED certification, and I'm trying to find it again so I can ask you about it. I'll just paraphrase what I remember.
That's kind of a sore issue with me because, like I say, it's kind of back to we don't use the term green, and LEED is kind of just pushing this word, this green, and when USGBC, the United States Green Building Council, first started, there were companies such as myself and other truly healthy companies in there, and now it's just overrun by the big chemical companies, the Monsantos and the insulation companies, and they're no different in the company's products now than they were before. They're just, you know, that's where the money is. So that's the biggest thing I have, and I see in the industry is what's a term called greenwashing. Fortunately, you don't really see a lot of this because I think you're focused on the health side, but a lot of people in my industry, in the building industry, are focused. They focus on green, and that doesn't mean anything, like I say, because everything's green out there. I mean, Clorox is green. I see advertisements on TV for Clorox, and it's green, and Exxon, you know, your gasoline's green, I'm sure.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't mean anything. Yeah. I think that what you had said, and I'm trying to find it as I'm listening to you, is that you said something about that there's not a difference between the ones that are, like you were talking about the Carpet Institute, that there's not a difference between something that is
they don't
unique.
Reward. Well, I think maybe what you're right. They don't reward people or companies like my, you know, like our product. They don't actually reward someone for putting in a truly natural, truly sustainable, healthy product because
that was
you get
point.
The same number of points as if you were to put in a synthetic that just meets the Carpet and Rug Institute CRI Green Label Plus program. Doesn't mean it doesn't have chemicals in it. Doesn't mean it's healthy. It just means that it meets their criteria. You know,
I'm wanting to particularly make the point about this because this isn't the only certification program that does this. And I've been saying this about other certification programs like Green Guard and other ones we were talking about the other day, where you can't just look at the certification and say, oh, this certification means this, because there's not gradations that then can point out what's at the top and what really is green. It just all falls into one category, and so you can't tell the difference. And that's the problem for me with all those certifications, is that you can't just really find out what is the best one. So I sympathize with you.
Unfortunately, it's big business. It's big business, and that's where the money's going, and that's where they, yeah. We know that.
Yeah, and so it kind of becomes meaningless. And that's too bad, because I think that people really need it.
And the big thing we fight against is greenwashing, you know, these levels of green and shades of green. And you know, maybe we're too far to the purist side, but I don't feel like there are
Never.
Any levels. There's either green and healthy, which is natural, or there's not. You know, how can you have something that's synthetic and all these chemicals? I mean, take the BPA that they're, you know, now finding out in the plastic drinking bottles and all these things that, oh, well, for a long time it was there and it was safe, but shouldn't say safe, it was allowed. And now they're finding out, well, it wasn't, you know, shouldn't have been allowed. So it's, you don't know, I mean, why would you trust these people?
Well, I think in, yeah, I understand what you're saying, that either it should be allowed or it shouldn't be allowed. But there's, you know, we're always finding out some things, you know, more things about toxic chemicals. And so if something shouldn't be allowed, it still shouldn't be allowed. You know, I get what you're saying. Anyway, we're coming to the end of our hour. And thank you so much for being with me. It's been a pleasure to talk to you. Again, my guest has been James Stinnett from Earthweave Carpet Mills. His website is earthweave.com. And I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. Be well.
Thank you.